Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 Fit Talmud. Sanhedrin Kuf Pei, Sanhedrin 102A, pagination is 203. We'll start on the facing page towards the bottom, the story of Yerovam. Yerovam becomes a king starting the Israelite kingdom, which competed with the original king of the Davidic dynasty. So that you have, in terms of kings, starting with Shaul, from the tribe of Binyamin as the first king. And that was a fulfillment of the statement said to Yaakov, U'melochim mechalotzecha yetzeyu, kings will yet emanate from you, biologically speaking, and Binyamin was not yet fathered. So Shaul, being a descendant of Binyamin, was a fulfillment of that. Some supported his son in turn, so that it became Melachim, plural, kings. But in any case, during Shaul's lifetime, the prophet Shmuel had already anointed David and granted him the promise of dynasty, that his children, if they would sin, they would be punished, but the kingdom would not be taken from the Davidic dynasty. But, as we'll see in a moment, the Jewish people did not in its entirety, the entire period of time, follow and consider themselves answerable to the Davidic dynasty, but the Davidic dynasty continued. It had the tribe of Yehuda, the tribe of Binyamin. Whatever influence it did have, the Beis HaMikdash was in that portion of Eretz Israel, but the Israelite kingdom also existed. David's son Shlomo takes over after David, and Shlomo's son Rechavam takes over and is critiqued by a very great and powerful person, Yerovam. Yerovam was a big Torah scholar, and he critiqued Shlomo in something that he did, and he began to get a following. Our Gemara, starting from six lines up from the bottom at the end of the line, tells us Vayivoatz HaMelech, the king, had a strategy. Vayashne Eglezov, he made two golden calves. We'll have to discuss this, because golden calves, of all things, Jewish people had a bad experience with a golden calf. Why would he make a golden calf? And the quick take of it is that the golden calf was not perceived as a direct Avodah Zarah. It was perceived as a conduit to Hashem, still Avodah Zarah halachically. We're not condoning, we're not justifying, but where were the people coming from? There's a fascinating Radak in the beginning of Yecheskel, a description that the Kisei HaKavod, the heavenly throne, which is the way the prophet would perceive the connection to Hashem, had on it one of its icons. The imagery, the energy, was of this egel, of this calf. And they felt that they were in the right by doing this. There was a degree of confusion. They were able to get people to be a little bit confused about it and to support it once they got the sufficient momentum. Vayomer aleihem, and he told the people, Rav lochem me'alos Yerushalayim, why are you still going to Yerushalayim? Where he realized they would become subservient to the Davidic dynasty. Hine Elokecha Yisrael, behold, this is the real God, Asher Elucha me'aretz Mitzrayim. I guess Elokecha Yisrael, it's not Kadosh, which took you out of Mitzrayim. He's claiming that by worshipping these things, you're connecting with Hashem, and this is his legitimate representative, is his claim. He puts one of them on one side of the country, and he puts the other on the other side of the country. What exactly was the strategy that's being alluded to over here? Rabbi Yehuda said, Shoshiv Rasha Isal Tzadik. He put a wicked person next to a righteous person, and he was trying to get the righteous person's endorsement. It's not entirely clear whether the person sitting next to him was a Rasha, in terms of the guy was a Rasha, generally, or what it means is a confederate, the way in modern psychology they would plant a person in the group to take a certain position and see how everybody else is influenced by that position. So over here, there was a confederate. He was acting as a Rasha. He was going to convince the tzaddik through strategy to sign on Yeravam's plan to introduce Avodah Zarah in order to enable himself to offer the people a worship that competed with the Davidic dynasty and the Beis HaMikdash. How did he do it? Amaluhu, he told them. Chasmisu akol da'avidna. Are you willing to sign on anything that I do? Amru lehin. So these supporters said yes. Amaluhu malka ba'ina lemehevi. I want to be king. Amru lehin. They said yes, no problem. Kol da'amina luchu avid to do. Anything that I say you're going to do. Amru lehin. They said yes. And then he asked, afilu lemiflach la'avodas kochavim. He floated it out there. Even to worship idols? You listen to me. Amar leit tzaddik, so the righteous one says, chas v'shalom, heaven forbid, we wouldn't do that. Amar leit rasha leit tzaddik, and this rasha sitting next to him, which we can suggest is not that he was always a rasha, but he was planted there, like Yeravam went bad, so this person also went bad. He's a confederate, he's a person planted with rishus. He's acting in the way of a Rasha. The Rasha would say to the Tzaddik, do you really think that a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar, a great person like Yeravam, which is the way he was known, is going to worship idols? He just wants to test you. He's taking something outlandish and saying, would you even do that? Will you accept his directives? And therefore, the tzaddik would sign. Now, some mefarshim say that the tzaddik wouldn't sign that he's going to worship idols, but verbally it was already out there. And when he signed his support to Yeravam, it was no matter what. The Gemara continues at the top of our daf, Va'af achiyashi lo nita v'chosam. Even Achia Shiloni, who was a great Navi and sage of the generation, he also made the mistake and signed on to Yeravam's plan. And again, did he sign literally that even to worship idols, which is a hard thing to understand that Achia Shiloni would do that? But even if we understand it differently, it was a full-blown endorsement which came with the oral tradition that anybody who signed here signed on to support Yeravam, no matter what. And the expression was, even to worship idols. Says the Gemara, Dahayeyu tzadika rabahave, because Yehu, who would later be a king in the Israelite kingdom, was a great tzaddik. And initially, he was given the mission to destroy the wicked house of Achav. Since you did what was right in my eyes, everything I wanted you to do, you did to Beis Achav. You're going to have generations on the throne of the Israelite kingdom. Uksiv, but later on it says, V'yeyu lo shama l'leches b'teres Hashem Elokei Yisrael b'chol levavo. He did not continue in the way of Hashem, the God of Israel. Lo sor me'achatas Yeravam asher hechti es Yisrael. Even though Yehu destroyed the Baal worshippers, and he really did a good pushback on Avodah Zarah, but on the topic of Yeravam's calves, that continued during his reign. And the question is, my Garmalay, what could have caused such behavior? So we'll see in a second, really, the continuation of the Gemara. The opinion of Rava is that what caused him to make the mistake and to think that these calves were not regular Avodah Zarah is all because of the story of Yeravam and the endorsement of such a great personality as Achiah HaShiloni. And as we explained in the beginning of the session, they thought that these calves are not real Avodah Zarah. That doesn't mean that lahalacha they're not real Avodah Zarah, but that was the impression that was being given to the people, that it's simply a conduit to Hashem, not like the classic Avodah Zarah is to avoid Hashem, the rain god, to avoid Hashem and get the rain somehow by tapping into the energies and messengers of Hashem and trying to avoid the master of the universe. This was a conduit to Hashem. Again, may still be Avodah Zarah, but that's where they went wrong. Once we're on the topic, though, there is a different answer to this question. How did Yehu go wrong if he started off as such a righteous person? Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Beris Kerusa L'Sfasayim, what an important concept. There's a covenant regarding the lips. If a person says something, even if he's joking, it could have an impact. Shenemar, the Pasuk tells us that when Yehu, in his righteousness, wanted to destroy the system of the Baal, he made an announcement as he became king, Achav Ovara Baal Ma'at, comparatively speaking, Achav worshipped the Baal only a little. Yehu Yavdenu Harbe, Yehu, referring to himself, is going to worship the Baal a lot. That was his statement. And he indeed tricked them phenomenally. He got them all to come, to make a holiday for the Baal, and he had his troops surround the place, and they were able to totally wipe out these people that were priests for this foreign worship that were leading people astray. That's one answer of how Yehu went wrong. Why? Because there's a covenant of the lips. You make a statement that Achav worshipped idols only a little, and Yehu is going to worship a lot, that makes an impact. And it may not take itself out in the Baal necessarily, but it makes an impact. And in a different Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Zarah of Yeravam, it ended up that he was a supporter. He allowed that, and it's an outgrowth of making the statement. You'll find that Jews are very careful because of this concept. What we say, because saying things can have an impact. Finally, back to our topic that we started, that Yeravam's misleading the tzaddikim and getting the endorsement ended up misleading Yehu, that's the approach of Rava. Rava Amar Chosama Shal Achiah HaShiloni Ra'a V'tah, he saw the signature of Achiah HaShiloni, and he made the mistake of thinking that indeed this type of golden calf is going to be permitted. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.